In your bulletin. Dates to remember. Sundays, every Sunday, 9 a.m. Bible study in Mickey's room. Wednesday nights at 6:30 is prayer, and from 7 to 8 is Bible study, also in Mickey's room. And then Thursday nights from 6:30 to 8 is choir practice up here. Everybody is welcome. Let's see. September 30th is a Friday night. That's this Friday. Is the picnic at the pavilion from 5 until 8. Hot dogs and hamburgers will be provided, and then there will be a movie after the meal. And everyone just brings sides, but if you could let Elaine know what you're bringing so we don't have 20 potato salads, that would help.
I really like this.
Okay. And let's see, October 30th is our fifth Sunday praise and worship and potluck. So if you'd like to sing with us, if you'd like to sing by yourself, if you'd like to sing with somebody else, let us know so we can make sure there's plenty of room for you. Also, invite people from other churches and let us know if they would like to come up and sing as well.
Or synagogues or whatever.
Huh?
Or synagogues or whatever.
Any other announcements? Yes?
I was able to find that Martin Luther and the 95 Theses play, so it has room for about 5 parts. So if anyone's interested in acting in that, it's really like a 10-minute play on that day after church, please let me know.
What's the date?
It's the 30th of October.
Anyone else? Yes?
Next Sunday is our 7th annual walk out against domestic violence. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So if you'd like to step up with us to either walk spots or just come down and pass the fun, hopefully for the 7th year, hopefully.
Has it rained every other year? I do have an announcement. Next Wednesday, the 27th at 7 p.m. in Hamden, Mass., Bethany Baptist Church is sponsoring Philip Craig and Dean. Those of you who don't know who they are, they sing Revelation songs. They actually sing quite a few of the songs that we do up here. They are excellent, excellent, excellent. Tickets are $23. If you are interested, let me know, and I will make sure that we can try to get tickets. This church holds 300 people, so it shouldn't be an issue about not having enough room there. Anyone else? Yes? Yes.
Yeah. It was a gift to myself.
Aaron, before you go out on a prayer request, let me talk a little bit about this Friday on the 30th, if you're around, y'all come. The chef will be a good-looking bald guy that I'm friendly with. There'll be hot dogs and hamburgers. Okay. Me and Hank and Jay, if he's around. There will be only bald men at the grill. That's it. Like that. If you didn't see it on the way in, you should check the pavilion out. The pavilion floor is now level. The stage is out, and it's up drying out.
Minus the mouse, yes, we made
a mouse homeless. I thought Karen was going to take it with her because Joel had just talked about how he had a mouse in his truck that bailed out at the gas station. I thought Karen, since she was headed over to Joel's place, we're going to drop the mouse off, but somewhere out there is a homeless mouse. Well, let's talk about folks stepping up and when there's a need, they see it and they fill it. And if you look in the bottom of your bulletin on the right side, it says, what's the one thing that's most important to you? It goes by many names. You can call it your purpose, your goal, your controlling center, your passion, your vision, your mission. It's the reason for your being, the answer to your question, what gets me up in the morning? What makes this one thing important is not what it's called, but what it does. Your one thing provides drive. Do you know one thing? The Apostle Paul did. He wrote, this one thing I do. He didn't write, these 47 things I dabble in. One thing. What's your one thing? And this week, as in every week that goes by, we have folks to step up and do things that are needed. And we were able to get a bunch together and get the stage out with only the mouse being disturbed. And Betty had talked, and a lot of folks in the church had never heard the organ play. And there's a lot of discussion about the organ and what it does and what it can't do and this type of thing. And I told Betty when I couldn't convince her to come play, but Faith did. My oldest brother, Howard, was gifted in the musical ability. He never went to school for it. But when Howard picked up an instrument to play, the instrument would play from Howard's heart. When Betty sits behind that organ, you can hear Betty's heart played in the organ. And there's no discussion about whether it's on key, too old, too what, too nothing. There's nothing wrong with that organ. There's nothing wrong with that organ. What you need is somebody with a heart for the organ. You can be schooled your whole life and all you are is a person that reads the music and performs the function with your fingers, your lips, or whatever. But when you play with your heart and with your soul, you know, you'll watch him play, I'll watch Tom play. And, you know, Tom works at his craft. You watch him work on a song on the way through. And you can see the not just the music come out, but you can see the passion. So this week, as the week continued, we were busy running around, and yesterday I came by, and out in front there was Grayson City. And they came through and said to themselves, let's go manicure the front. Mm-hmm. And they went through and did a great job. And it prompted Ed to come in the building because Elaine and I had stopped, and Ed said, was there a work bee that I missed? Was there a work bee that I missed? There's always a work bee going on here somewhere along the way. So I'd like you to enjoy this service, because this is truly the day that the Lord has made. And, you know, Betty's going to share a talent. Also, Betty and Hank are leaving tomorrow. I didn't know they were leaving this quick. So, you know, I said to them, okay, we're going to go out to eat together, but I guess we'll do that down in Florida. So there was a purpose to everything. Since I couldn't catch them this week, Elaine and I are going to have to go to Florida for a few days to catch up with them and Terry and that type of thing. But as we go through the service, I always talk about God's got a special message for each person here. This is a special Sunday, not just because Betty's going to play the organ and deliver the message, but it's a special Sunday because of the week that came before the Sunday, a week where folks stepped up and did what was needed to be done to accomplish the mission. And if you're prior military, you're sensitive to that word, to accomplish the mission. But God's always got a mission, every day. Okay. Every day, God's got something that needs to be done. So, let's do prayer requests.
Sure. Okay, give another prayer request. Let's see, first, Alma and Charlie to find a new apartment. Also for Alma and Charlie and Bob and Judy and everyone else who's battling Parkinson's. Prayers for our cancer warriors, Ken LaRoche, who is the pastor's son-in-law's father, for Terry and Jeannie's sister Ruth, Charlie Roberts, Roger Kerboy, Reverend Bob Wellner, my friend Dee and her husband, who both have got cancer. Continued prayers for Alexis, Jake.
Is that why they're not here? Is Alexis?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. For Jacob, any more updates?
The last update I got was shared by Pastor the other day. Hopefully they're home this weekend.
Continued prayers for baby Luke. Has anyone heard anything more about that? No? Okay. For Angelica, who is continuing to thrive, right? And all of our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren that need healing. Prayers for doctors and nurses for wisdom and guidance and compassion. Healing prayers for Mr. Jetty, who is also doing better, correct? For Mrs. Haley, for Missy Hagen, for Kit, Rich, Kelly Morin, for me, for Priscilla Varney, who's Alma's sister, and anyone else. Oh, we're doing good. Okay.
Continue service with Have Thine Own Way, Lord, hymn number 584. We'll do first and last verses. 584.
Thank you.
Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you for this day, for the sunshine and cool temperatures, for the rain that came and renewed the earth, and for the opportunity for us to be renewed and lifted up and once again be more than we ever thought we could be. We come here today and we're thankful for a nation that allows us to assemble open and free. We're thankful to be in a community of like-minded believers where we join together with Christians all across the globe and take time to reset our start button, to refocus our minds and our hearts on the things that are truly important, the things that have to do with the mission you have us do, Father. And now as we prepare to lock into our pews and be recharged and renewed and lifted up, we gather together in the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us when he said,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Ushers are going to come forward. They'll receive our tithes and offerings. And it's interesting, we're on our way up this morning, and my wife and I occasionally have this discussion where she says, hey, I'm going to make out a check for church. Are you going to make out a check for church? And I said, yeah, okay, I'll do it when I get there. And she says, well, you sure? I said, yeah, I've got my rucksack. I've got my checkbook. I always carry the checkbook with me. And she said, well, last week the offering came and we hadn't talked about it, and so I gave all the money that I had. And she said, I reached in and I didn't have a lot of money with me along the way, but I put in what I had. So this week I wanted to get it squared away. So any of you folks who are like me and you're not squared away, it's okay. Take a couple minutes, because as the ushers come forward, I'm going to walk out and back and get my checkbook. Now, then I'm going to take my checkbook and do, Hank, where's my brother? My brother Hank. I'm going to do exactly what we talked about in Bible study. Yes, dear. I'm going to walk up and give her my checkbook and say, here, let's take care of this. And I don't mind doing that, because I talk about being blessed and how you can't outgive God. I am blessed mightily and by many people. Laura, how's Kelly doing?
She's
doing pretty good. They're
waiting together into the
Greek Harbor now. So, we're just planning some place for a shelter. Did they find out what the... So, she has to run. But that's just one example of our caring congregation. Because Kelly needed a sponsor. Laura said, pick me. Laura said, pick me. I'll be the sponsor. Joel, your dad's doing better?
Yep.
And again, it's a family that takes care of folks that need taken care of. It's not a question of who's going to be in charge. You just need to move forward and accomplish what needs to be done. We are a small but mighty elite fighting force, a blessed congregation.
I just want to remind you about missions. Did we do a mission collection this month? I don't think so. No.
No.
September, so I just thought if you
want
to throw that in at the end.
Okay. Is there another Sunday in this month? No.
No.
Okay. Today's Mission Sunday. You can write two checks.
I thought we did September missions, or was that in the August?
No. I don't think we have it. September.
Time goes by quick, Charlie. I'm with you, brother. You just keep going along. So as the ushers come forward, share from your abundance, for we are abundantly blessed.
Thank you.
come each week, and each week we offer a small portion of what you've given us. We thank you and praise you for each day, Father, and for each opportunity. And now, Father, we thank you and lift these gifts up to you. We ask, lift them up to you, Father, to be used by you to expand the ministry, to reach out and touch lives that haven't known your face, your touch, and your love. We ask you bless these gifts as well as the giver, that you multiply, magnify, and utilize them in your service. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, before you sit down, you guys just turn around a little bit. Service has no age. Service has no barrier. Your ability to serve isn't judged by your age, your IQ, or you're only limited by your own imagination. You've got Phyllis up here, and you know, you've got folks that are continuing to serve.
That's right.
And they move, as the Army says, always forward.
Mm-hmm.
Be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That's okay. All the children, come down front. I thought you'd do your own do that.
Well, I didn't know if you guys were planning to.
We were planning on singing do that together.
Okay. There is a scripture in the Bible. I'm going to read it to you. As soon as I put on my reading glasses. Okay, let's see. Where is it? It's in Hebrews. And it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us the expectation about the things that we cannot see. Through their faith, people of olden days earned a good reputation. Okay, who wants to take a guess at what that means? Don't jump at once.
No.
It means, well, let's take a look at this. What are you seeing there? That's it. Look at salt. Cornmeal. It's a box. And you just have to take my word that there's cornmeal in here. It's spread around. What if I told you there's something else in here, too? Not right here. Well, faith means that what outside is put in here, I trust is going to still be here. Even after I blow away. By faith, we believe that God, when he just spoke and said, the world is going to be here, it actually happened just by him speaking. He didn't have to take a bunch of clay or dirt or clouds and rain and go, let's get it all together like a snowball. He didn't have to do that. All he had to do was say, let there be earth, and there was an earth, and let there be stars, and there was a stars, and there was land, and there was water, all those great things, just by speaking it. We believe that. And we believe that God puts great stuff inside each one of us. God knows what he's put inside you. And if you trust him, if you have faith in him, he's going to show you what's inside. He doesn't actually have to go, oh, wait a minute here, let's just pull this up. Okay, open it now. Oh, there it goes. Okay, here we go. He doesn't have to do anything like that, right? And he doesn't have to, like, pull it out of your ears. And he doesn't have to pull it out of your belly. He doesn't have to do anything like that. It's already there. He knows that you're going to find it. Because we have faith. Now, I am going to stand back, and I'm going to let you guys do something really fun. And I will get the vacuum. Bring him up here. I want you to blow into that and see what's in there. Ready? One, two. Oh, wait a minute. You might want to close your eyes when you blow so that nothing blows back in your eyes. Okay? So when I say three, you close your eyes and blow, and then open your eyes and see what's in there. Ready? One, two, three. Blow hard. Okay.
Stop opening your eyes. That's not working. You guys don't have enough money. Okay, watch when I do this. How about this side? There we go. Look, there's kind of like Earth and some stars, kind of like what God did. He just spoke it, and there it was. We have to work at it. Did you get some here? Oh, good. We have to have faith to believe that God put something special, something extraordinary, something huge and sparkly inside of every one of you. Yeah, awesome. Okay, let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you that you put such great things inside of us. Help us each to find that great gift that you've given to us. Help us to see it and to use it to the best of our ability. Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. In your bulletin, you'll find our next hymn. It's Higher Ground. Are you playing this buddy here?
No.
Okay. Hit it. Rise if you're able. Higher Ground.
Approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And the second reading is from John, chapter 17, verse 6. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word.
Amen.
This has been a reading of our Lord's holy word.
Amen.
Thank you. If you'll pray with me, Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts are acceptable in your sight. I ask that we learn from each other and that we love each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
When Gary asked me to preach this morning, I said, no problem. As some of you know, I've been a little busy the last few weeks. And I thought, I have a couple sermons. I can just brush up on them and I can do this. But guess what? Like so many times in my life, God said wrong. I couldn't find any of those sermons that I haven't preached before. So God said to me, no, I want you to study and I want you to write what I want you to say this week. Because both you and the congregation need this lesson. So before I get started, I'm going to pull a Joel Osteen and I'm going to tell you a little something funny. In Bible study, we're talking about marriage. And you see, there was this couple, they'd been married a very long time, and she was a little bit of vocal, and he didn't quite get his way very much, and she kind of chewed on his ear a lot. So he passed away, and he went to heaven, and St. Peter was up there, and St. Peter said, oh, I know you. He said, you deserve the rest of heaven. He said, but we have an entrance exam. You have to spell a word. So the guy said, okay, what is it you want me to spell? And St. Peter said to him, love. He said, oh, L-O-V-E. Great, you're in. So St. Peter said to him, you know, look, I have to step away for a minute. He said, would you mind the gate? So the man said, okay. While he was standing there, his lovely wife proceeded to present herself at the gate. And he thought, oh no, I am not going to get any peace or solace in heaven because here she is. And he said to her, how is it that you're here right after me? And she said, oh, I was so upset that you passed away, that I passed away. And she said, how do I get in? And he said, well, he said, there's a little test. And she said, yeah. And he said, you have to spell a word. And she said, what is it? And he said, Czechoslovakia. So, with that, in my daily personal devotions, I've been reading Hebrews. The writer speaks to us about the great faith of the early biblical characters. He talks about 20 people and tells how faithful they were. Then he goes on to mention others who were put to death or tortured for their beliefs. He says in verse 39, these were commended for their faith, and yet none of them received what they'd been promised. Interesting that he would say that. That doesn't sound very encouraging to me. Listen again, starting at verse 35. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, and still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, sawed in two, put to death by the sword. They were about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Wow, that doesn't sound like fun. Well, this is one reason why it's important not to take biblical verses out of context or stop reading at the end of a chapter. Because verse 40 says that God had planned something better for us so that only together we would be made perfect. The sermon that I had in mind to preach was about running a race. Several times life is compared to a race. You've all heard about the tortoise and the hare, the rat race, and the race against time. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize. Again, I'm not feeling the encouragement here. As I get older, I think that the world is a different place than it was when I grew up. When I competed in sports, someone actually won and someone actually lost. My parents' generation didn't think that it was important for us to never experience defeat. In fact, they thought losing was important for us to build character. You were taught not to be a sore loser, to accept defeat graciously, basically to suck it up. Losing has never been much fun, unless you're talking about weight, which I know firsthand, but just not in the recent history. So what's the purpose of this wonderful, crazy existence that we call life? Is it a race that we just keep running and running until we're exhausted? We never quite finish or get to the prize? Do we exhaust ourselves trying to be good, only hoping to be good enough to get the prize of eternal life? That's not how I choose to look at my life. Because first of all, I don't like to run, and I have never come in first in a race in my life. However, we can learn a lot about racing as an analogy. First of all, people who run races have to train for the competition. This is what Paul says in Corinthians. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. We spend most of our youth doing just that, learning by listening, learning by doing, learning by mimicking leaders, parents, teachers, siblings, neighbors. Everyone we meet is a trainer, whether they know it or not. Eventually, we grow up enough to be discerning of who we want to emulate, who we want to grow up to be like. A lot of small children start out wanting to be like their mom or their dad or a neighborhood policeman or even the president of the United States. Once we narrow it down, the journey begins. We are sent to school to get an education. We need to learn the skills necessary to become whatever it is we choose to become. We should be going into strict biblical training. For some of us, schooling is fun. We love to learn. We absorb everything that's put in front of us like a sponge and crave for more. I was so fortunate to have so many good teachers who cared enough to share their knowledge with me. I didn't always appreciate it at the time, but I certainly do now. I'm one of those people that could be a professional student, that could hide myself in the search of knowledge forever, never venturing out into the world to use that knowledge, just keeping myself cloistered in a safe place. I'm not very good at competition. Some of you find security in your jobs, your ability to take things apart and more importantly put them back together, or your hobbies. We all find a niche that is comfortable to us and we try to stay there. Forget about competing in the rat race because it takes training and it might be uncomfortable. And guess what? You might not win. In terms of this life, none of us will live forever, but who really wants to? As Christians who have accepted Christ as our Savior, we know that the only true victory we will have, the only true victory that we need, is eternal salvation. And we already have that assured because our faith is in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So again, the question is, why run the race? What prizes can possibly be better than the love and security we find in our Lord? This life was created for us to enjoy. We are supposed to make a joyful noise. God's plan is for good. So who's putting up the roadblocks? Who's setting us up to fail? Who keeps plodding along, making the same mistakes over and over again? We do. Why? Because we're human. And human nature is sinful. It's weak. It's vulnerable. Remember Eve? She didn't want to disobey God, she just did. She made a bad choice. She let her curiosity get the best of her. Whatever excuse you care to assign to her, the point is, she did it. She disobeyed. God gave her a second chance. He gives us a second chance. He gives us a third, a fourth, a fifth. He gives us an infinity of chances. I love the parental analogy because don't we with our children, we know we need to discipline them. But isn't it always the last resort? We give them a chance. We give them a second chance. So shouldn't we do the same thing with those we love? Those who parented us with an unusual teaching skill, or that sibling that was always calling you fat, or the person who is always criticizing you. As you get older, you need to leave all of that where it belongs, in your past. Your race still needs to be run, and it is intended to be enjoyed. If you are holding back, if someone is holding you back and is destructive, you need to leave them, forgive them, but move on. Limit your contact. Take care of yourself. Spend more time with the one, the only one, who always loves you, who never disappoints you, the only one who always wants best for you all the time, your God. I don't mean to make this sound simple, because our race is a hard one. But Jesus says in John, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So let the Son set you free, and you will be free indeed. Wow. Amazing. We can be free to win whatever race we choose. So how do we do that? Jesus says further in verse 10, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Think about the animals in the pasture. The pasture gives them food and water, a place to lie down, a place to run, a place to play. Jesus says, find pasture in him, find peace. And then he continues, I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. We have the answers that we need. We just have to fight being a slave to sin and let the Son set us free. We have to avoid the temptations, no matter how familiar they are. Move out of that niche. Just because it's comfortable doesn't mean it isn't harmful. The old adage, the devil you know is better than the one you don't, always seems to be true. But think about the times you've tried something new. It can be wonderful, and the results can far exceed your expectations. You know, sometimes when I'm starting running my race and doing something different and I'm getting some success and I get all excited and I should be so happy, I'm really scared. Because it's new territory, it's uncharted ground. We can't predict the outcome. We feel out of control. It seems so much safer to turn around and go back to the start of the race. After all, we know what's back there. We've been there many times, and we kind of like being stuck there. It's comfortable. Even though we may not be fulfilling or fun or even safe, it's familiar. So how do we get out of the quicksand? We've all seen those westerns. There's only two ways. You get aboard and climb out, or you grab someone's hand and are pulled out. Our lifeline is our faith, and the helping hand belongs to our Lord. He is the way. The only way for us to win the race, and just as importantly, He is the way. The only way to live life and live it more abundantly. When you get stuck and are turning around to go back to what is familiar, look up. Reach up in faith to the lifeline that connects you to the Master's hand. You will be able to finish the race. You will find the joy that is promised. The choice is yours. The training is difficult, but God has a plan for you. Don't get in His way. Use His GPS and arrive safely and happily at the end of your race. He will be with you all the way. He tells us constantly, Deuteronomy, Jeremiah, Matthew, John, Hebrews, you are not alone. He will be with you all the way, cheering you along the way, and even carrying you when you don't think you can go on. Faith is your tool, and grace is your reward. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our last hymn is The Solid Rock, number 517. And I don't know how many verses, but we have plenty of time, so let's sing them all.
Christ the smile, and rock by smile.
ourselves.
One per family.
One per family. And let's just pray over this mission offering, and then we'll dismiss ourselves. Father, we ask that you take these missions and that you use them for your purpose, for your glory, Lord, throughout the world, or just in Wales, or just in this church, or just in our homes. We thank you for the generosity and the desire for all of us to make this a better place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.